Welcome. You are listening to the Park Avenue Synagogue podcast, and this is Rabbi Elliot Cosgrove. While it's better to hear it live, this is the place to catch the latest sermon, conversation, and select program. If you like what you're hearing or want to learn more about our community, check out PASYN.org. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to get a notification for our next episode. Enjoy and see you in shul.
Shabbat shalom. When people ask me how bad the protests were at my daughter's graduation from the University of Michigan, truth be told, I didn't engage in it. It was her graduation. She was thrilled. And as her father, I'm so very proud of her. If you want to ask me about my daughter, if you want to hear what it felt like to have her graduate from my alma mater, if you know someone who will hire a kid with a double major in music and cognitive science, those conversations I would readily engage. But to talk about those masked individuals who barged into her musical graduation, calling for an intifada and accusing Israel of genocide, to talk to you about those who chanted throughout the main stage graduation, those conversations I will not indulge. COVID stole many of these kids' high school graduations and their freshman year. October 7th forever diminished their senior year. These children are my heroes, and I'll be darned if I will grant the haters of Israel the post-factum satisfaction of detracting from my daughter's joy or my nachas. I parried, I deflected, I redirected. I'm proud of my graduate. I'm proud of all of our graduates, and they deserved every mazel tov that is their rightful due. I also, to be sure, didn't engage because I wasn't entirely sure about how to respond. The blessing and the curse of being a rabbi is that I'm trained to see every side of an issue. Upset as I was that the protesters weren't arrested or even disciplined for their actions, if they had been, having been there, I'm pretty sure that violence would have erupted and commencement would have been shut down entirely. We've all seen the violence at campus after campus in the encampments at the graduation ceremonies. I understand, tactically speaking, why a policy of non-confrontation and de-escalation may have been believed to be the best of the imperfect options. Besides, as many of you know, I'm not a sky is falling, this is 1938 kind of guy. I'm a big believer in freedom of expression, at least outside of my synagogue. I think we send our kids to college to sharpen their minds and toughen them up, which means engaging with ideas that sometimes make them uncomfortable. I may not like what the protesters are saying, but I believe they have a right to say it. The open exchange of ideas is an American value and, frankly, a Jewish value. I'm also not one who believes that every critic or Israel or even non-Zionist is an anti-Semite. Some of the most formidable intellects of our time, Jewish intellects, have given voice to non-Zionist formulations of Jewish identity. As I've said on many occasions, sometimes I think that some parents get overly worked up regarding campus politics so as to avoid taking agency for the threat to Jewish identity, which is actually their responsibility, the production of proud, literate, and loving Jews. Were the same energies being directed to address parents' fears about Jewish life on campus been spent on creating Jewish life at home, everyone, one could argue, would be better off. And I get it. Tens of thousands of Gazans have been killed and millions displaced. The battle lines for Rafah are being drawn in real time. The horrors of October 7th are never to be forgotten. and the plight of the hostages remain at the forefront of my concern. I believe Israel has every right to root out Hamas, a self-proclaimed genocidal group whose stated purpose is to destroy Israel and kill Jews before October 7th, on October 7th, and after October 7th. I pray for and am deeply proud of the soldiers of the IDF, my own family members included, and I am horrified, just horrified, at the loss of innocent human life. To feel otherwise is to be inhuman. And while I'm not a politician or a military strategist, the moral dimensions of Israel's campaign to free the hostages and root out Hamas is complicated by way of the government's inability to present a viable day-after plan. There is what to protest about how Israel is prosecuting this war. And it's being said not just in the International Court of Justice and the Court of Campus and World Opinion, but on the streets of Israel itself. And if you followed the news this week, by Israel's own defense minister. Israel is far from perfect. I don't think every critic of Israel is a closet anti-Semite. I believe in the free exchange of ideas. And I get that there are tactical considerations in responding to protesters. And I mourn the loss of every single innocent Palestinian life. For these reasons, amongst others, I've held my tongue when people have asked me what I think and how to respond to the eruption of anti-Israel protests on campus, online, and around the country. This ends today. Leman Sion lo echesheh. For the sake of Zion, I will not be silent. For the sake of Jerusalem and the Jewish people, I will not be still. The present protest movement to lay the blame for Israel's war against Hamas at Israel's feet, accusing Israel of genocide, calling for the liberation of Palestine, exists beyond the bounds of civil discourse, beyond reasoned and passionate critique of the Israeli government, and should be named and understood as the present-day incarnation of the world's most ancient hatred, anti-Semitism. Whatever their initial intent may have been, no matter who is participating in funneling or enabling the protests, their effect has been an incontrovertible and irredeemable expression of Jew hatred that poses a threat to Jewish lives, Jewish institutions, and ultimately the very promise of America itself. At risk of stating the obvious and restating what I said last week, to be a Jew is more than a faith. It is a connection to a history, a heritage, and a land, no different than the Sabbath or keeping kosher, whether or not it is part of your daily practice. To be connected to Israel is a foundational building block of what it means to be a member of the Jewish people. To argue that there is no Jewish claim to the land, to argue that the Jewish people have no right to sovereignty and self-determination, to call for the land from the river to the sea to be free of Jews is historically inaccurate, blind to thousands of years of history, and a frontal attack on a central pillar of Jewish identity and thus on Jews themselves. In their hostility to Zionism, in denying Jews the right to self-defense, in the very use of the word intifada, a movement in which terrorists would commit indiscriminate acts of violence against Israelis, these protesters show themselves for who they are, crossing the boundaries of civil debate and revealing that it's a hatred of Jews, not the defense of Palestinians, that is their primary motivation. In the months since October 7th, time and again, I've pointed out the obscenity of October 7th denialism, the hypocrisy of those who would turn Israel from victim to aggressor, and the bankrupt morality of those who would call for a ceasefire but not the release of hostages, a world that would somehow find common cause with Hamas, a terrorist movement funded by the very people who would see Jews killed and Israel and America destroyed. The offenses run the range. The invocation of anti-Semitic tropes declaring, quote, Zionist donors and financiers out of Jewish campus life, as was done at Hunter College. The calls at multiple campuses to block any program or person with any Israel or Zionist affiliation from Fulbright funding semesters in Israel, birthright programs, and Israeli academics. And now, as is the case at numerous universities, the call to ban any campus organization, including Hillel or Chabad, because Israel engagement is part of their programmatic mission. Jew hatred is not monolithic. It's a spectrum from the genteel to the most vulgar. The movement from one form to another can happen easily, quickly, and imperceptibly until, of course, it's too late. And it would all be unbelievable if it weren't true. A state of affairs which would never, ever be tolerated against any other people. Can you imagine masked individuals calling for black people to return to Africa, as there have been those calling for Jews to return to Europe? Would Chinese Americans or their culture ever be banned due to offenses of the Chinese government, of which, incidentally, there are actually many? Of course not. But against Jews, it's somehow okay. How is it that Zionists, and by extension Jews, are somehow the object of reproach and not any other people? It is a double standard that portrays a much deeper rot. In our world so quick to police microaggressions of the smallest kind, how is it possible that verbal or physical attacks against Jews must always be understood in a broader context? Story after story of Jewish students being harassed or bullied online and in person and made to hide or suppress their views or their not, if not their identity. Acts of aggression and intimidation against any student whose sympathies put them in common cause with Jewish self-determination and self-defense. And lest anyone think that I'm being unfair in painting too broad of a brushstroke, that there are Jews in the protests, so they can't possibly be anti-Semitic, or that the desperation of the hour justifies desperate measures of protest. To you, I say, grow up. Take agency for yourself. If you believe in a ceasefire and you want the release of hostages, then say it. If you believe in a Jewish homeland, but believe that some of Israel's policies are misguided, then say so. Say so, because if you don't say so, then I'm left to lump you in with those calling for an end to Israel who believe that Jews have no right to national self-determination. And if you are a Jew participating in the protests, I would ask you to square your protest chants with the facts of October 7th, and with the facts of the last 2,000 years of Jewish history. Some of my best friends are Jewish too, but that doesn't make them adroit defenders of the Jewish people. Why would you, guilt by association, reduce yourself to some lowest common denominator, river to the sea slogan, which for you may mean a two-state solution, but for others mean the genocide of Jews? Think for yourself. Think critically, speak with nuance. Not everything can or should be distilled into a cardboard placard or Instagram post. It's easy and it's dangerous to live after the world's opinion and follow the crowd. What takes courage, what shows character, what our world needs are those individuals willing to move past slogans, embrace complexity, build dialogue, recognizing that no person or people is in possession of the entire truth. To take a stand, even when it's unpopular, that's what it actually means to be a Jew. Literally, in Hebrew, an Ivri is one willing, like Abraham, to stand on one side of the world while the rest stood on the other. I am, as you may sense, a little fired up. But ultimately, it's not the disruptors and the encampments who are the objects of my ire. It's the administrators who are entrusted to maintain safety and establish campus culture. because whether it is a public or a private university, there is a point when peaceful protest mutates into aggression and intimidation, and the right to free expression interferes with another's right to education. Rules that are not enforced cease to be rules. Understandable as a policy of de-escalation may be, to fecklessly turn a blind eye to mass marauders, to negotiate with those who stand in breach of the very values you purport to defend, to cave to their nonsensical demands, as has happened on numerous campuses, to cancel graduations is a form of mob appeasement that has and will only yield the worst possible outcomes, outcomes that come at the expense of Jews. There's a reason that this week's Torah reading concludes with a sharp punishment that ostensibly exceeds the transgression at hand. It sends a message. As Red Auerbach once counseled Bill Russell, university administrators will keep getting roughed up until they learn how to throw an elbow. It's time for our institutions of higher learning to reclaim their primary purpose, education, the free exchange of ideas, an ideal presently trampled on by the illiberal orthodoxies of campus culture. And it's not just university administrators, it's us, too, Jews who need to take a stand. You know the old joke, two Jews, Goldstein and Cohen, are standing in front of the firing squad. The commandant asks if they have a last request. Goldstein replies, "Can I have a blindfold?" Cohen turns to him and says, "Goldstein, stop making trouble." Friends, it's time to make trouble. It is time to let the world know that we will no longer let the freedoms of others come at our own expense. We need to throw flags on the field. We need the world to know that there is a cost to anti-Semitism in our schools, in our places of employ, in our alma maters, in our social circles. Now is the time to activate our networks. Now is the time to get politically, legally, and philanthropically involved. Campus leaders need to know that in the face of aggressions against our people, they will not have our support. It doesn't happen by way of the kindness of others. As a set of Democrats, Jews need to stop bringing the proverbial pillows to what is really a knife fight. Every business, university, school, or association presently responsive to the well-being of Jews is that way because a Jewish person has stood up and said something. Now is a time for our voices to be heard. When the second gentleman comes here on Tuesday night to speak about anti-Semitism, I want this sanctuary to be full with you and your children and your grandchildren. I want him to know, I want the world to know that we are listening, that we are watching, and we are responding, and we are supporting those who support us, and we are not supporting those who don't. Jews have fought long and hard to arrive at this station, and it may be for just such a time as this that we are here. Not tomorrow, today. Now is the time to engage. The most well-known tradition of every commencement ceremony is a moving of the tassel from one side of the mortarboard to the other. There are more explanations to the custom than can be counted. The crossing of a threshold, the transition from one stage to the next, the distinction between students and graduates. The best explanation I heard was from a graduation speaker the other week, who has said that it signals the gap between the world as it is and as it ought to be. What we see today and then the vision we hold for tomorrow. And in shifting the tassel, the empowered graduate sets off to close the gap between our broken world and its unrealized potential. The chasm between our world as it is and as it ought to be is daunting, but it is not insurmountable. I am so very proud of my daughter as a young woman, as a Jew, and of course, as a Wolverine. She stands empowered and ready to help this world reach its unrealized potential. The question is whether we, her parents' generation, are willing to do the same. for the sake of Zion, for the sake of the Jewish people, do not stay silent. Find your lane, get involved, and fight. Fight, fight, fight to make this world safe for our people. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you for listening to the Park Avenue Synagogue podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more about our community, check out PASYN.org. See you in shul. Hallelujah, el bekod shor. Hallelujah.